Let me pray now, and we thank you, Father, for this day to worship and focus upon you. And we thank you for the children's program, the Sunday school program that has been planned for this morning. And I just ask that you would bless the children and bless the teacher. And I pray that as the Poland ministry team shares this morning, that we would all be encouraged as we reflect upon how you are working and moving all around this world. Continue to bless our time together, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we proceed through the morning, just different team members are going to come up and speak and sit down, and there'll be some slides for you to watch. I'm not sure if it doesn't look like they're shining really well. You could probably dim the lights again, but we'll see how it goes. Oh, that looks pretty good. Okay, over to you guys.
Hi, Tommy.
Ah, Cześć, Vincent. Dzień dobry. Jak się masz?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Dobrze. Bardzo dobry. Jestem głodny.
Oh, you're hungry. What do you want to eat?
Kielbasa.
Polish sausage? Why do you want to eat Polish sausage?
Kielbasa jest pyszne.
Okay, I agree that is delicious. Where do you want to eat it?
Nie wiem. Warszawa?
Warsaw? Isn't that a bit far from our camp? Don't you agree?
Tak.
Do you want to eat Polish sushi?
Nie.
Oh well, we probably don't have time right now. Don't you have a workshop to teach? What are you teaching it on?
Ah, tak. Duch Święty.
Ah, the Holy Spirit, eh? That's a very interesting topic. Well, I should go now.
Ah, tak. Do widzenia.
Goodbye.
Well, I guess I went to Poland with my husband, and he was a Polish, a Cantonese, Chinese slash Canadian, but he returned as a Polish man. So. Oh well. Anyways, we would like to really thank you so much for your support for our team from OBC, and regarding our Poland mission trip. And next slide, please. So, your support has allowed the six of us from OBC to serve God in Poland. And so we have Pastor Bretta and Rhoda. We have Vincent, Brian, Tommy, and I. So the six of us went to Poland. And we went to a city called Szklarska Poręba. Did I say it right? Szklarska Poręba. It's kind of hard to pronounce. And it's in the southwest of Poland and near the border of Czech Republic. So what we did there, we basically hosted a evangelical English family camp. And every day we'll have worship time, we'll have English Bible reading time, English class, the children's program. The children have their own separate program, so we would do Bible study, crafts, and games. And after the lunch, we'll usually have free time, or field trips, and, various evening activities and fellowship time.
So we're in Poland, and our team go with this missionary organization called International Messenger, which is in Canada, led by Grace and Jean and Fox. And we host Eva and Charik in Poland. They're... They're a pastor and pastor wife in Poland in a church in Gosu. And there's also seven other teammates that went with us from United States. And here you see Cherik and Eva, and they also have at night Grace has workshop and also have women's program and women's nights out and crafts, and here you see the women's what? Can you go back to? Yes, thank you. So here you see the women's campers hanging out with Rhoda, and Rhoda's trying to teach them how to do scarves for one of the crafts. Yeah, that's part of the craft as well. And here's the women's conference, and they're having a women's meeting. And one of the night was having a town night, and me, Tommy, Allison present our Cantonese worship song in one of the town night, and also in the one of the worship time as well. And Pastor Brad was there, and he's preaching as well. In the night program, where we all have fellowship and join together and have praise and worship. And here's a picture of a group of young teenagers having their games night before, I think it's the Friday before we left. So my experience in Poland was that God has really blessed me through through my testimony and through being able to share my life with the campers in Poland, and also the fact that he kept me really calm. As you can see, I'm very nervous talking in public. That he kept me really calm while during my testimony, that I'm able to convey what God wants to convey through my testimony, and also what I guess surprising or a blessing is that I'm able to, after I share my testimony, that camper was coming up to me and asking me how I'm doing health-wise and all the health problem that I had and have, and that they're really able to know me through my testimony, and that we're able to grow closer to that, and I was really thankful for that, and that's one of the most memorable experience that I have in any sort of camp. And
So throughout the missions trip, I caught a cold that gave me constant headaches and physical fatigue. And I'm a person who likes a certain amount of control in my life. And being sick was not part of my agenda, nor was it in my control. And I felt guilty for not being able to give 100% of my strength to help out and to serve others. And on one particular day where the whole group was preparing to go on a field trip, it was a whole day's field trip, I felt really sick and miserable. And in my head, I still wanted to go because it would give me opportunities to chat with the Polish people. And also, I would feel guilty if I stayed behind in my room and rest. However, this group of women from my team persuaded me to stay and to rest. And the picture on the right, you see the woman, they were praying for me. And throughout the camp, too, they were praying for me. Like throughout my sickness, I was constantly cared for by the North American team and also the Polish campers. They gave me vitamins, Polish named medicine, and Pastor Chardak even gave me some tea made from the herbs pulled out from a garden outside a hotel. And so instead of me going to Poland to serve the people there, I felt like I was served. And I never imagined to be so loved by this group of people who I've only met a few times. I don't know exactly why God allowed me to be sick, but I believe that when the Christians, when they cared for me and when they loved me, it does not go unnoticed by the outside world. Perhaps God used this time to show the Polish non-believers that God's love has made us love one another deeply. And so throughout this sickness, and I guess God also taught me too that I don't need to do things according to my own agenda and that He is in control and not me.
During the camp, there were many events that happened, and as mentioned before, one night we had a talent night where all the campers and staff were encouraged to show off their skills and talents, usually in the form of a skit or performance. And the day was Thursday, and that afternoon, I was asked to join three other Polish people in performing a pantomime skit with them. We practiced in the afternoon and performed that night. And that was something I was very glad I did. Looking back, I realized a couple of things. The skits were a notable part of the camp, and the Polish people were always enthusiastic, very enthusiastic about planning and acting out when we had a couple of nights where this was possible for everyone to do. And second, despite being in Poland and despite being on a missions trip and despite being there to serve people, I realized that you can still fall back into what you feel is comfortable. I went to Poland to serve the people, not ourselves, but not to live for ourselves, but also to show both the believers and non-believers, not just through talking to them and what we say, but also through how we live our lives, what it means to follow Christ. And this is not something you can do very well when you hide in your bedroom. Here's a video of the skit. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that was before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. But by oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, there was no deceit in his mouth.
It's not my turn, but I'm interrupting because this is a very Polish thing to do. We experienced that in the services, often technical things cropped up, and so there should have been sound, and it didn't come through. Sound would have made it a little bit more impressive. The other thing you don't notice is that Vincent is actually in this skit, and Vincent's always been a behind-the-scenes kind of guy, and they got him to come out of his shell, and he did all kinds of acting in this, so you can't easily identify him, but... anyways, I'm very impressed with what Vincent was able to do. So we'll go on to the next person now that I've done my Polish interruption thing.
All right, so next slide. All right, so before we left, Pastor Brad made an announcement saying that, or at least Chadwick and Eva, we got an announcement from them that there was a change in location. So originally, the location we were supposed to be in was 2-hour drive from Berlin. But there was a miscommunication between Chadwick and the campsite. So what was the miscommunication? The misunderstanding or the miscommunication was that that first location had around 70 beds, but we needed 100 beds. In order to make this camp happen. So beds including children, single people, and married couples. And so because of that, just a month before camp happened, there was a swift change. They had to make a swift change. So thankfully, by God's grace, Eva and Chadwick were able to find a new location within 2 to 3 weeks before the camp officially began. So you can imagine how much stress they experienced, they went through. So we praise God that we found a new location. This is the hotel, this is the place where we stayed in, and it can host like 500 people all at once. So despite of that, we had to drive from Berlin to that location, Skarska Paremba, for like 4 to 5 hours. So instead of 2 hours. So most of us slept in a van instead. So that's how... time go by fast. Next slide. This is the carpeted room in the building, in the hotel that we had. This was the place where kids have fun, play games, and have fellowship time, so forth. Next slide. Okay. The change in location leads to this next praise item. There was this Polish lady, her name is Magda on your left here, with her son Wojtek. She came with her mother-in-law, but both of them, the mother-in-law and Magda, were not believers. The mother-in-law was the first person to register the camp because last year, her previous experience, was very memorable and she wanted to come back eagerly. 2 to 3 weeks before camp began, the mother-in-law asked Eva and Charlie if she could invite her daughter-in-law and her children. And of course, she and her children were definitely invited to go. So if they weren't, if there wasn't a change in location, they would not have been able to go to this camp. So because there was this camp, Magda was able to go. So Magda went to the Bible study and the English conversation. Both of us, Alyssa and I, during one lunchtime, or they call it dinner time, but it's actually lunchtime, we had an opportunity to have a spiritual conversation with her. So although her English was a little bit limited, she was still able to express herself a little bit. She said that her children could choose to believe whatever they want to believe. So, and then which led to the next question, which Allison asked her personally. She asked her, you know, what do you personally believe, Magda? In her response, she said, she believes that God exists and that God is everywhere. She thinks that the church is a wall or a barrier between her and God. But we didn't get a chance to ask her the reason for why that is. However, after attending a couple of Bible studies with another team member, by God's grace, God opened up her eyes and she discovered from just by reading the Bible itself, that the Catholic priest, the Pope, are no different from her because she grew up in the Catholic environment where priests and Catholics were higher standard, there was a hierarchy. But she found out just by reading the Bible that, wait a minute, everyone's equal. Everyone needs salvation through Jesus Christ. So later on, she also asked about biblical interpretation of the Bible and who has the correct interpretation if everyone has a different perspective. And so that opened up more opportunities to have a conversation with her. So in summary, if we went to the first location, Magda would not have the opportunity to study the Bible because there was no room for her. So God was already at work in preparing Magda to attend the English Bible study camp. And God used that opportunity to open our eyes to see the truth of the gospel. I don't know where she's at right now in her relationship with God, but we do know that after the camp, she actually went to Eva and Chadwick's church the following Sunday. And also an additional praise item about the location. So Eva and during the middle of the week of the camp, Eva and Chadwick told us, so for some odd reason, that the first location closed down. It closed down because there was some kind of bacteria that came from a nearby water, a river or a pool, and it spread throughout that campsite. And so Chadwick said that if we went to that first location, most of us would be in the hospital. And the English camp would have been canceled, would have been over in less than a week. And only that, because the first camp, the first location was kind of in the middle of nowhere. So there's nothing nearby. So if we got really sick, though, I don't know how many hours drive we need to have, how many hours of drive that needed to get to the next nearby hospital. And only that, we didn't have a lot of cars. So if all the drivers became sick, who's going to drive? So despite all the misunderstanding between the first camp and Chadwick and whatever, our sovereign God was definitely in control and he protected everyone from harm even before camp began. So we can praise God that he protected all of us. Praise God that Magda was able to see the truth just by reading the Bible. So I think the next slide is Frodo's turn.
Good morning. I'm so thankful that I was able to be a part of this great team of people who came from North America to go to Poland. And I would never have expected the kind of immediate spiritual connections that each of us were able to make in some person's life. And I praise God for one particular relationship that I began establishing. You can see in this picture a woman by the name of Paulina and her two children. I would say that the most meaningful part of this whirlwind camp experience was for me an unexpected conversation that I had with this young mom. I really shouldn't have been surprised because the very first night before camp began, pardon me, our team had met for prayer and I had specifically asked the team to pray for me that I would be able to make a significant connection with at least one specific woman throughout the week. And for some reason, this verse came to my mind from Lamentations. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And I had no idea why that particular verse just kept going through my mind for several days. Well, one evening, the ladies had gathered to do some crafts, and I noticed that Paulina had taken great care to perfectly align each of the pieces of her craft, and I simply commented on her attention to detail. This was all that it took for her to open up with me about her personal struggles, brought on to a large degree by the manner in which she was raised. She expressed confusion about the religious ideas of her parents and indicated to me that she had a strong desire to raise her two young children in a different way than she was raised. She commented on all the screaming that happened in her home, and she said, "Every once in a while, I scream at my kids, and I know that that's not right. I am just not good enough for my kids. They need another mom." I gave to her this verse. I wrote it down and gave this card to her, not knowing just whether this was prompted by God, but obviously it was, because we made a connection several times throughout the remainder of the week. Paulina and her husband, both of whom I don't believe are believers, were invited to come to this camp by a relative who had attended last year. For some strange reason, Paulina and her husband were not told that in addition to English classes, there were going to be daily Bible studies and worship times and evening sermons. Kind of a big thing to miss out in terms of the information given, but Paulina was just excited about enjoying a family camp where her English skills could be improved. However, she almost did not make it because the day before camp began, she was experiencing a great deal of stress. She had apparently called her husband at work and told him that he needed to go with these children himself and leave her at home for the week. But God knew that Paulina needed to hear about the love of Jesus and to experience the warmth of friendship that came from some Canadian strangers and some U.S. strangers. The day after the ministry at Gorzu was over, Paulina gave a day of her time in order to be a tour guide for the 13 of us IM team members to show us the city in which she lives. It was at that time that she told me that the day that camp was over and she saw our team pull away in the van, she had gone into the bathroom and simply wept because she had felt so loved and she didn't want us to leave. I do believe that it is God who orchestrates things that are just so beyond our control. And I'm thankful that it was God who reinforced his love to her through these team members, because you chose to participate in ministry with us. And so I thank the Lord for being a part of that.
Praise God. Paulina was actually in my Bible study, and her English was pretty good. And I also was grateful to have her in my Bible study, and we got a chance to talk about the Bible together. It was great. Thanks for sharing. So aside from the busyness of life or the busyness of ministry, there are also fun things we did during the camp. Allison said it was beautiful. It is, I guess. So it's a river of a waterfall or a small little waterfall. So it's a hinting something. So next slide. So this is the team members. They were going to a nearby waterfall. It was a nearby waterfall. And if you remember Elizabeth last year, she actually came to the camp. She's actually in the far left. Next slide. And this is Chade picking up mushroom, which I hate. And here's a waterfall in the middle. And also some forests around there. Next slide. As you see, some of the campers there were dressing up, because this year was actually the 10th English family camp that Chadwick and Eva led. And so, because it's such a special time, they decided to have a theme for the camp, which is like a Western theme. So you see people dressing up right now. Next slide. And because it was a Western theme, we did some games that were related to Western things, like rodeo. So I think this is Brian leading a lasso. You gotta throw the rope and tie it or something. Next slide. This is Allison leading a archer and arrow. Back slide. This lady here, she's actually the mother-in-law of Magda. So this is Teresa. She's the first one who actually signed up for the camp. Next slide. And this is Elizabeth leading this game called the Quick Draw. So Quick Draw, gotta shoot the water gun into the cup as fast as you can. Next slide. I think this is Pastor Brandon Linvero leading a game. What is it called? The Chuck Wagon Race. So they had to carry a body and then run that body around. Is that how it went? Okay. Next slide. And here's clown. Who's the cowboy clown here? Yeah, you're seeing one here. And also his wife. I was very impressed that Pastor Brett went full out of the costume. Next slide. This is us making kielbasa, the Polish sausage. I was blown away at how they created the campfire. Last year, I wasn't able to do it because I was sick in that day. So I saw how Vincent, Elizabeth, and this other Polish teenager, his name is Mati. The way they did it was like they compile a bunch of sticks together, and then, I don't know how they did it. Basically, they somehow compile all these sticks, and then Mati just got campfire going. He went to the scout and so forth, so he was able to create a campfire, a bonfire for us. So we enjoyed it. And this is Allison picking up blueberries and red berries. Cranberries. Next slide. Also, relating to the 10th camp, these people are leaders. The far left, from your far left, Jean and Grace, far right, Chadwick and Eva, they were holding a crown because they spent the last 10 years hosting this English camp, and it's a lot of work put into it. I have no idea how much work they do, a lot of administrative work. So we had one night where we honored them, we celebrated with them, reviewing, looking back all of what happened these past 10 years, what God's been doing. And so we praise God for that. And next slide. And because of that, we had a massive cake. I don't know who made it or we bought it. It was an evening, so I don't think everyone was going very hyper that evening. Next slide. So this is right after the camp. This is us as a family. It was after church on Sunday. This is, we have a group picture of the team with Chadwick and Eva's family, and I think it's another pastor's family there. Next slide. Also, during that Sunday that we went to for church, we had an opportunity to see two young people get baptized. So this is Chadwick on the far left, and in the middle is his son Mihal. His name is Michael in English, and then the far right is Anetika. And so we had just seeing them get baptized is such a privilege, and they were so glad that we got to be there to see them get dunked. Next slide. This is Mihal getting baptized. Next slide. And then afterwards, the ministers pray for them, that to bless them, that they will continue to walk, grow stronger in their walk with Jesus. Next slide. So that's all the fun things we did. Next, I'll leave the final comment to Pastor Brad.
Our trip to Poland, and I really believe that your support, both financially and through prayers and through personal encouragement, was a response to the Great Commission found in Matthew 28, and also the mandate that is found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." I've said this to you in previous messages, but I think it bears repeating, and that is that often we look at the passage here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and we say, there's the missionary mandate. And we say some of us are responsible to look after our local community, but other people are especially called to serve as missionaries and to go internationally to serve. And if you remember me ever speaking about that, I said, let's try to interpret this a little bit differently. It's not simply a missionary mandate. It really is a ministry mandate. And all Christians are called to be involved in ministry, not just a select few, but we are all called to be involved in some way in all arenas or fields or geographical lands. And so this ministry mandate here in Acts chapter 1, it's not about Christian or Western countries going to non-Christian or non-Western countries. It's not about missionary sending and missionary receiving. It's not about some Christians being, quote-unquote, called to minister at home while others are called or responsible to minister internationally. My conviction is that this ministry mandate is about the ministry of all Christians, bringing faith or belief into an environment of unbelief and bringing support and relief into an environment of need. And this is to be done both locally and internationally. And so it was our great privilege to go internationally to fulfill in just some small manner this ministry mandate. And you participated in this mandate by encouraging us and praying for us and supporting us. I wanted to share just a few reflections from my time there. It's already been mentioned that a part of our daily routine was to conduct a Bible study and then to conduct English language classes. In the Bible study that Rhoda and I conducted, there was, of course, me and two other pastors in this group. And I thought this is rather curious that they would put three pastors in one of the Bible study groups. Something's rigged. There's something going on here. And I quickly discovered that, in a sense, the forming of that group was pre-planned, because one of the ladies, and you saw a picture of her, Teresa, was in our Bible study group. And I had been told ahead of time that she was really mixed up with New Age ideas, and she felt that there were many ways to discover and approach God. And it was hoped that with me and two other pastors, somehow we might be able to communicate some truth to her. Well, they should have realized that it was up to the Holy Spirit to communicate truth, and indeed he did. By the end of the week, she had asked some of her very difficult questions and had clear responses to those questions, and left that study session feeling much more open to the reality of God, and specifically to Jesus as being God and the only way to salvation. So that was a very wonderful experience, and hopefully she will continue to question and find the answers that she needs. In our English language classes, a variety of language skills and abilities, and this was a good learning experience for Rhoda and I. We've come back with some understanding of how to teach English now, which we didn't have before going, and we received good training. And again, I'm not sure if this was rigged, but one of our students was actually a PhD candidate who was doing her PhD work in English, and here we were to help her improve her English, which meant figuring out what present continuous participles with conjunctive, I don't know, I mean, just all kinds of stuff. So it demanded that we really prepare ourselves well ahead of time. Tommy already highlighted how this camp was made possible and what could have happened if we ended up at our first destination. I would add that this camp really is only possible because of the participation of North American workers and because of the financial support that we are able to send. 13 of us from North America went, aging in ages from, I don't know, who's the youngest, Allison, whatever, Allison's age, all the way up to, we had a couple of people who were in their 70s and 80s who came from North America to participate. And it was just a real blessing to be able to be involved in that. Now, to get some sense as to how important this camp is in the lives of people, there were just over 100 people who attended. People came from throughout Poland. Some came from Germany. Some came from Ukraine. Some traveled over 700 kilometers to participate in this camp. And I'm not sure what the exact percentage is, but a large number of them are not believers. They are not following Jesus. But it's been such a positive experience that they want to come anyways, and they allow themselves to be exposed to the message of the gospel. And so it was just a very exciting time to be involved. Let me encourage you during conversations, during the fellowship time, or maybe throughout the week, you can ask Rhoda and I how our vacation was, because we took 2 weeks of vacation before going to camp. I don't think we would have survived camp if we hadn't gone and just did nothing, sat on the beach for 2 weeks. But don't ask the rest of the team how their vacation was. It was not a vacation. It was 16-hour days of ministry. Okay? It was heavy-duty work. And they had to deal with jet lag. Rhoda and I didn't. So I really commend these guys here and the ones who came from the U.S. for all the energy that they expended to do ministry. And it was truly a wonderful time. You saw a picture of the baptism service. At the end of the camp, we went to Gorzów Baptist Church and participated in the ministry there and got to be involved in the baptism service. And I was able to preach a message there. Czarek's son was baptized. Czarek is supported as an International Messengers missionary. The other lady there who's baptized is Pastor Derek's daughter. And so two pastors who served that church had their children being baptized, children, young adults being baptized. And it was really quite wonderful. Pastor Derek has just recently returned to ministry in the church. He had to take a 2-month leave from the church, go to Norway without his family, work 12 to 14 hour days, 6 days a week, simply to gain some financial support. The church can't support him appropriately, and so he had to go into Norway and get extra work to subsidize their ministry for the coming year. And so it's a wonderful ministry that they have there, but it's not without its challenges, particularly when it comes to finances. So again, the involvement of North Americans has been very helpful and beneficial for pulling this camp off. Paul spoke to the Philippians, and we won't take time because we're running out of time. But in Philippians chapter 4, Paul talks about how the Philippian church had shared or partnered with him in his ministry. And he specifically highlights the fact that they provided financial resources so that Paul could do his ministry. And he described these financial resources as a fragrant offering to God and something that was very pleasing to God. In Romans 15, Paul talks about another ministry opportunity. He says he's going to Rome and that he anticipates that the church in Rome, or sorry, he's going to Spain, and he anticipates that the church in Rome will partner with him and help him financially so he can go and do that ministry. And so on behalf of the team, I want to thank you for partnering with us and providing the resources so that we could be your representatives in a very needy part of Europe and be involved in ministry. Shortly before we left, I had a conversation with Eva, Pastor Charik's wife. And one of the things that she said to me, and I will quote it. She said, "I now feel we have a church family who is looking after us." She was referring to you folks. This connection with Poland began with Gary and Judy going over a couple of times. It developed and continued through the team that went last year. The influence, the support has grown through the team ministering this year. And even though Eva and Charik and Derek and Renata, they have their church family, it is a difficult ministry. And she said, because of our support over the last three and a half years, she said, "I really feel like we have a church family, us, who is looking after us." And so you need to understand that this sacrifice, this commitment to send the team was very worthwhile and brought honor and glory to Christ and was used to impact and to build the kingdom of God. So thank you very much. Want to say thanks on behalf of Piotr, Agnieszka, Renata, Matthew, Magda, Reshik, Karolina, Paulina, Magdalena, Pavel, Stepan, and many others. These are campers who expressed to us their deep gratitude for the fact that we came to assist them and to serve them. And the arm twisting and the cajoling and so on was, "Make sure you come back next year." Okay? Continue this wonderful ministry that you have begun in our midst. Going to wrap things up now and just say thank you. You guys all say thank you in Polish, good and loud. Did you hear that? One more time. Dziękuję. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for partnering with us and helping us to fulfill the ministry mandate these past 2 weeks in Poland. Thank you for providing the financial support to us and to the people in Poland. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for taking the ministry mandate seriously and bringing honor and glory to our great God and Savior. Thank you. Dziękuję. Let's stand and give God glory through the singing of the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Amen. 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 Please be seated. Off in the side room, there's opportunity to enjoy some refreshments. The coffee being served today has been brought to you from Poland, so please enjoy that. And feel free to engage any of the team members and pick their brains and learn a bit more about what took place over the last 2 weeks. Thanks again. God bless.